Hey guys, welcome to the Titanium Vault. I'm your host, RJ Bates III, and today I'm sitting down with Scotty Tregalis. How you doing, man?
Good, brother. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so introduce yourself. Tell the people what it is that you do in real estate and also outside of real estate.
All right. So my name is Scotty Tregalis. I've been wholesaling and a real estate investor since 2017. Everything real estate, right? And I also help business owners and real estate investors get access to capital through credit stacking and the whole credit war realm. And I'm really the translator between credit and real estate, emerging both of those together so people can use true OPM to be able to invest in real estate at 0% interest. That's really what I'm kind of known for.
Yeah.
Credit and real estate translator.
Love it, man. Love it. And that's why I wanted to bring you on here because nowadays, you know, a couple of years ago, you got started in 2017. So you know what I'm talking about. It was like we had the direct mail. We went to ringless voicemails. Then it was like everybody had to do texting. And now we're moving into this world of PPC, PPLs. Everybody's got inbound leads coming in. And the problem is that's capital intensive. Right. Everyone's like, RJ, I don't have that much money. That's the whole reason why I'm trying to get into wholesaling is I don't have money. So I wanted to bring you in here because talking about how to utilize, like you said, I love how you said that true OPM, other people's money, not, you know, your buddy over here who's got some extra cash. No, we're talking about American Express, Citi, Capital One, the real other people's money. So let's talk about that. I mean, I'm assuming when you're talking about using this, it's mainly inside of your business overhead and your marketing capital and stuff like that, right?
Right. Well, really, is we can use credit for anything. I even use credit for payroll sometimes.
Nice.
Right. There, you can really use it for anything. And even with real estate down payments, you're probably thinking, well, how the hell can you use a credit card to put a down payment on real estate? Well, it's simple. If you need a 20% down payment in the Midwest, I'm originally from Oklahoma, you can buy $100,000 homes every single day, right? 20% down. Cool. You got $10,000-$20,000. We can get access to multiple six figures in credit cards at 0% interest, and we can liquidate those cards, turn that credit into cash. Now with that cash, you can simply wire that down payment to the title company, and you just bought a real estate property with 0% interest on a credit card.
So one of the biggest issues that I've had with credit as a real estate investor is that anytime I use it, the utilization goes up, the credit score drops, the inquiries come in, that drops my score. And so I'm kind of always on this roller coaster.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you say to people that are like, man, you know, you're talking about getting hundreds of thousands of dollars. I can't get up to there because I can't ever get my credit score that high. How do you kind of combat that?
Man, you know, about 98% of the people that come to my program, they are real estate investors because that's the world I'm in. And most of them have that same exact issue. And the issue is that they're using their personal credit for their business. That is number one taboo. Number one taboo. Why? Because, of course, the utilization on personal credit lowers your score. It's 30% of your overall score factor. And if you're using 30% or more of it, you're going to see your scores drop drastically, right? And that's why we only use personal credit for personal. We use business credit for business. Business credit is scored based off of one thing, and it's on-time payments, all right? They don't care if you max out your cards or anything. That balance and nothing will report to personal other than on-time payments, right? So unless you default on your business credit cards, they won't know it's there. Unless you're applying, right? When you apply, there are some that will report like a hard inquiry, but that's simple. We're able to remove those in 24 hours. Therefore, it's ghost, never there.
So when you talk about the difference between personal and business credit, so for example, several of my entities have been in existence for 10, 15 years, mm-hmm. Okay? How do I use those businesses to get these credit cards that you're talking about? Because every time I've ever tried to go on and apply for one of those, they still want me as a personal guarantor. It's still hitting my personal credit. So is there truly just like, for example, Titanium Investments? That's one of my biggest, longest term LLCs.
Mm-hmm.
Is that like, Can it stand on its own without RJ Bates?
Yes, eventually, right? When you're first starting a business, you'll have to personally guarantee it more times than not. But there are systems where you can apply for credit without a personal guarantee at all. Like with Amex, those requirements are you at least doing $8 million a year, right? And that's the difference from business credit and corporate credit, right? Me and you applying for something versus Walmart applying for something, there's a big difference. You're not going to see this. You're not going to see Jeff Bezos with Amazon personally guaranteeing a credit card or a line of credit, right? And that's the difference between like corporate credit and business credit, where you and I, we have to personally guarantee most things, but that's okay as long as we're not planning on defaulting.
Gotcha. So the limit there is where we stop personally guaranteeing is $8 million a year in revenue. That's kind of the shift.
That's with Amex, yeah.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. And so when we're utilizing our personal credit there, we can still go out, we can still get business credit cards, but it's still going to have that personal guarantee. But does that build your business credit score, or does it not really matter?
So that's where it doesn't. And this is where a lot of people think, hey, yes, I have a Chase Inc. business card. I have business credit. Well, no, you have a business credit card, not an actual credit score, right? Where you have personal credit score, you also have a business credit score. And in order to establish that, you actually have to set up a Dun & Bradstreet profile, an Experian business profile, and then establish that credit by adding trade lines, right? Trade lines that specifically report to Dun & Bradstreet, Experian, and Equifax, the business bureaus. If you don't have trade lines that add to those and report to those, then you will not have a score at all.
Gotcha. So let's talk to the newer wholesalers that get in. Yeah. I think these are the people that probably need this the most. Where do you kind of point them and say, like, for example, say they just need like $5,000 to $10,000 so they can get started with marketing. Mm-hmm. What's the best direction for them to head? Is it immediately goes get specific types of credit cards, or what's your recommendation there?
Yeah. So when we're looking at a business owner or a real estate investor, we always start with the very first pillar, you, the business owner. You have to be credible. Why? Because in the beginning, you're going to have to personally guarantee everything. So we want to make sure you, RJ, you're credible enough. So we'll look at your personal credit. Are you at 740 plus? If not, we'll do what we need to do to tweak that. We'll show you how to get there. Removing anything negative like collections, late payments, anything like that. We specialize in the 5-day credit sweep. So removing everything negative in literally less than 5 days, and then adding anything positive, such as like credit card history, anything that would boost your scores after removing the negatives. Now, once you, the owner, are where you're at, 740 plus is like where we want to see you guys. That's when it's time to start establishing a true business credit score and 80 paydex. All you need is 3 trade lines reporting to Dun & Bradstreet to establish a perfect 80 paydex score. Now, once you have that, we're able to leverage both of those. And then it's focusing on relationships, right? With top tier banks like Chase, US Bank, Bank of America, so on and so forth. They prefer to have a relationship with you before you go ask for $100,000 0% interest card. They want to know who you are, right? So we help people establish those relationships and then dial in the data points of this is the exact card you're going to apply for, how, when, why, and where, and even what to put on the applications in order to get approved for X amount of dollars, right? Boom, you just got your first credit card. So there's a lot that comes before just shotgunning a bunch of applications. Because us, we want people to have less cards, higher limits.
Nice. See, that's something that I didn't know early on. I went out and thought, you know, hey, I need to establish my credit score, you know, in my early 20s. I always talk about this. We have a show that we do every Thursday called Pardon the Disruption. And when we talk about what's happening in America, I always talk about financial literacy. And it's like, dude, you can't drink a beer, but you can go get a credit card.
Right.
It's like, that's stupid. You know, it's like you're 19 years old. You show up at a college campus and you're bamboozled by outside of the dorm rooms where it's like, would you like to sign up with Capital One? Would you like to sign up with Citi? Would you like to sign up? I got all of them, you know? And then it's just the running joke was I spent $5,000 on Taco Bueno burritos my freshman year because it was just like that's what I was eating off of, you know.
Right.
But You talk about 740. What? Why is that the metric that you guys set on the credit score there?
Because 740 to 800, anything above 800 is just bragging rights. There's tiers to credit. 720 to 740, that's great credit. You're going to get approved for everything, but you're going to start seeing higher interest rates. Anything above 740 to 780, upwards to 850, there's really not much of a difference other than bragging rights, right? That's 740 plus is when you get approved for everything at the lowest interest rates.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure everybody that has an 850 credit score at some point in time has taken a screenshot of it and posted it on Facebook or Instagram. That's that's pretty much it. And then, of course, you've got everyone that comes in with the comments saying, oh, so you just don't use your credit?
Right.
You know, that's pretty much the running thing on social media. Mm-hmm. So 740, you talk about building the relationship with these banks. How long does it take to establish a relationship with, say, like a Chase Bank?
So really, it's just opening up a personal account, a business account, or having a personal credit card with them, as long as they know who you are, right? And then what we suggest is at least opening up a personal and business account, putting at least $5,000 liquid in the bank, letting it sit for 2 weeks, and then applying through a relationship manager, right? So if you are a business owner, you can meet with a business relationship manager at banks like Chase Bank. And the difference is when you're applying through them, you get to request your credit limits. If you didn't apply through them, you're just getting hit with a random algorithm. You're just another person applying, right? You don't get a choice of how much you want. So when you follow the process and say, hey, Mr. Relationship Manager, I'm projected to do $3 million this year in my wholesale business. I plan on racking up, $50,000 in PPC marketing expenses. I'm interested in your Chase Inc. preferred card. I'm going to be spending around $50,000 a month. So I'd like to request at least $80,000 on this card. Now you have a relationship manager referring you to the underwriters in Chase Bank versus just applying online and seeing what you get.
Now let's talk to the people that are probably, I would assume the vast majority of people listening to this are somewhat irresponsible when it comes to credit. Okay. Mm-hmm. I think that's proven. There was a stat that we had the other day. What is it? It's like $1.1 or $1.3 trillion in like consumer debt. It's ridiculous. It's an astronomical number.
It's insane. So
what are you recommending? Like if I go spend $20,000 this month, am I supposed to pay off all $20,000 of that next month?
It depends on the credit card, right? And this is why it's important to understand who's going through my program, because I will have a conversation with every single person who comes in here. So I understand your situation, your spending habits, what exactly it is you're spending the credit for and what you need it for, right? And that tells me what type of credit card you need, right? So like RJ, right? You've got several businesses. If you are more focused on getting the rewards versus not being able to pay it off every single month, I would say, hey, go out and get the Amex Gold card. Use that for marketing because you're going to get 4X points on your PPC, Facebook, any sort of marketing spend, right? But the Amex Gold is a charge card, so you have to pay that off every single month. Versus someone just starting brand new, I would say, hey, go out and get the Chase Inc. preferred card. You're going to get 3X rewards on PPC and marketing spend. But there is interest. It's not 0% interest. So you know what? Since you're starting brand new, go get the Chase Inc. Unlimited card. It's a 0% interest for 12 months. We know that the average wholesale turnaround from day one to marketing is on average, 90 days, 3 months. Yep. So if you're starting out PPC, I think I started out at $10,000 a month. Great. You just spent $30,000. Maybe add another $5,000. So you're at $45,000 spent by the time your first deal closes. Great. That's on a 0% interest card, meaning you only have a 1% minimum payment due every single month, 1% payment. So basically the 0% interest card is buying you time to be able to generate revenue to pay that off versus a charge card like the Amex where it's like, hey, I have to spend $15,000 a month and pay that off every single month. Therefore, it defeats the purpose of having a credit card to buy you time.
So you talked about charge there, and I saw one of your reels recently where you were explaining the difference. So break that down for people, the difference between a charge and a credit card, because I think a lot of people know about American Express, right? But there's other charge cards out there, right? I mean, that's not the only one. And what's the main difference there?
So a charge card is more so someone with that spends a lot. So there's not really a limit. They say they're unlimited. It's not true. There's always a preset limit there that they will not let you pass. But with a charge card, it's like a muscle. The more you use it, the more it grows, right? I have people spending seven figures a month on these charge cards. But they have to pay them off every single month or else they're going to get hit with like 28% interest. It's insane. Versus a credit card, like a Chase, a Capital One, right? Your basic credit cards, you have a limit and you cannot go over that limit. And you can use whatever you want in between that limit. But the difference is you can pay that off over time. The charge cards, you have to pay off every month.
So for the newer people, you recommend, hey, we need to go out and get the 0% interest because that's essentially buying you the time you're not getting killed with interest. And that's truly using someone else's money to get started, right? At what point in time do you transition like from, hey, I'm doing this because I'm buying myself time to now I want to start building rewards for the rest of my life where I'm getting cash back or travel rewards or something like that? I mean, what is kind of the turning point that you tell people when they should actually make that transition?
It's really based off of income, right? If you're comfortable paying off your charge cards every single month, and like me, I'm only after one thing. I have over seven figures in available credit. I don't need the credit, but what I'm after is the rewards. So therefore, I'm going to go after cards and utilize the cards that are going to reward me the most. And even if that's cost paying it off every single month because it's a charge card like the Amex Gold or the Amex Platinum or, you know, the Capital One Venture X card, these charge cards are going to reward me the most as far as like rewards. And I have to pay them off every month. But that's okay because that's my goal versus someone just starting off. They need to buy time. They shouldn't go after those cards. So it's really based off of income. Whenever you're comfortable with paying off the cards every single month and you're just focusing on the points.
So you talked about at the beginning, you said card stacking. Mm-hmm. And now I'm familiar with list stacking on the real estate side of things, but card stacking, I'm like, all right, talk to me. What does this mean? What is this hack you're talking about here?
So credit stacking is just simply stacking a big list of credit cards together, right? And I guess to dive in deeper to that, it's more so just being able to apply for 5 to 10 credit cards at once and getting them all at once, right? Really build an entire stack of credit cards in a very strategic order.
So what is when you say a very strategic order, what is it that I'm trying to accomplish there? Because like, for example, if my credit score is sitting in the mid 700s right now, okay? So if I were to come to you and then say, hey, am I a candidate to go do something like that? If I already have like 4 or 5 credit cards, is that beneficial to me? Or is it like, no, you already have enough. You shouldn't have to do that.
It can be beneficial depending on your goals, right? Do you want to utilize credit more? Do you want 0% or do you want to travel for free?
Yeah, bro. I want to go to Norway for a month. Okay. So
absolutely.
We're going to get to that in a second. Okay.
Absolutely. So yeah, in that case, I would see what you have now and then see what you would need. I'd also connect the dots on what it is that you're spending the most on and replace your checking account with a credit card that's going to reward you for those spending. And yeah, you are a candidate because there's thousands and thousands of different credit cards out there. You know, I personally have, I think, over 60 now, all serve different purposes. Some are completely useless, right? Some are 0% and I'll never use them again once they run out of 0%. But there's so many more. It just all depends on what it is that you want. Do you want to travel? Great. We're going to go after these. Okay. Now what are you going to use them for? Okay, great. We're going to go after travel cards that reward you the most for what you're already spending.
All right. So I got, this is a personal question. So for everyone listening, I'm sorry, this is just for me. There's a titanium credit card that exists, right? Is it good? And I just want it because everything I do is called titanium. So I really just want to walk in with a thing that has my company's name at the top. Is that a good card or is it not?
So that one, I mean, there's platinum, there's palladium, there's titanium, there's gold plated, there's diamond plated. There's so many. I mean, I think you could go ahead and just grab that now. But remember, what reward is it going to give you other than it just being like titanium? Yeah, we could probably get it, but we probably wouldn't use it for anything because it's not going to reward you. And it's just not
that that's the problem. When I look it up, I'm like, I don't really understand what I'm getting for this.
Yeah.
Besides the fact that it just says titanium on it.
Right.
All right. So you just spent a month in Norway with Robert Winsley from InvestorLift. And I believe you did all of that off of your credit card points, right?
Yeah.
So how long did that take? And how realistic is it that people can do that where they're literally traveling to Europe for a month off of credit card points?
Yeah. So a lot of people think it's impossible and that they have to spend a lot of money in order to get those rewards. But it's not that hard. So I'm going to kind of rewind. So we do 2 month-long trips per year. And cash value is at least $100,000 a year in travel. And this, so 2023, we paid less than $2,500. And the cash value was around $98,000. So we did New Zealand, Fiji, Mexico, Norway, all about two and a half months total, 100% credit cards. And you do not have, yes, of course, you know, we're spending $30,000 a month in PPC, you know, multiple companies, but you do not have to own multiple businesses to be able to rack up that many points. It's just more so optimizing the spend that you're already doing and using the right cards that reward you with that. So that goes back to how I said, what is it that you want? How do you want rewarded? Do you want travel rewards? Okay. We know that's our end goal. Well, what are you spending right now where you don't have to change anything? PPC, what, $30,000, $40,000 a month? Great. You're going to use these two cards, right? Those two cards right there, you're going to be traveling forever for free, right? Man, there's Nick Perry, all right, good friend of mine, just got back from a month-long trip, 100% credit card points. So really, let's run it back to beginners. There are sign-up bonus rewards on credit cards where, for example, the Amex Platinum, 160,000 points. The Amex Gold, another 80,000 points. If you spend, you know, 15,000 on the Platinum, 8,000 on the Gold, right? So you're spending less than $25,000. But with that, you can optimize that and you can get at least $30,000 to $50,000 in free travel out of that. And it's just like moving things around and knowing it. You know, another friend of mine, another InvestorLift cartel boss, Sean Cerrani, he was just at an event in SoCal with me last weekend. And he was smart, very smart, man. He was doing math. He's like, it's just not mathing. Can you show me? So I pulled up my program and said, okay, first step we're going to do is this and this. So backstory, he has a VA company in Pakistan. So he goes there about 6 times a year. And he flies business first class. And we looked it up. It's around $7,000 one way. So he's spending $14,000 there times 7. I'm not a math guy, but
it's about $100,000.
Yeah, about $100,000. So he showed me his Amex account. He got 1.2 million points. And then he showed me his Chase account. He's got 900,000 points. And he asked, well, how much travel do you think I can get out of these? At least 150,000. He said, no way. No way. I'm like, oh, yeah. So he's like, show me. So I pulled up my program just so he can see this is the exact process and steps that we're going to follow. And we're going to do it for you right now. So he pulled up his Amex account to see how many points it would take for him to book just one way, first class, 525,000 points. He's like, it's just not mathing, man. I'm like, okay, let's follow this process. We did everything and we found flights for 85,000 points there and back.
Wow.
So I told him without ever changing a spending habit that you have right now, you don't have to change anything. You will never have to pay for another flight again.
See, that's what I was going to ask you, because I feel the same way as he feels. Yeah. I'm like, dude, I've done the point thing, mm-hmm. you know? And I'm like, and then I go to cash them in, and I'm like, this is bullshit, bro. No, I'm spending like $1 million to get a damn flight to Chicago. Yep. I'm like, it ain't worth it. I'll just buy some bitch, you know?
Robert was doing that as well. And, you know, he's like, yeah, Scotty taught me how to travel hack. I'm like, Robert, that's not how you travel hack, brother. I'm like, you got to transfer those. You got to move them around. You got to be flexible on the dates. You know, there's things to watch out for. Transfer bonuses to truly like 25x or get a 25% bonus by, you know, just transferring them and so on and so forth. It's a lot of chess pieces, right? Yeah. And I don't expect everyone to be an expert at this. As long as you know the baseline, you can really just keep an eye open and leverage those points to, I mean, I've gotten up to 52X. That was with hotels, right? So the way points are valued is 1 point per penny. Okay. How do you get 1 point? By spending $1.
Right. Okay?
So you spend $1, you get 1 point, and that point is worth 1 penny. Well, that's cash back. Now with travel, if you transfer them, you can get upwards to 8 cents per point. With hotel, the most I've ever gotten was 52 cents per point. Right.
That's crazy. When you were talking about going to Norway, you said, or your trips, it says 98,000, you spend about 2,500. What are you including in that? Is that hotels, flights, the entertainment and the food, or are you just including flights and hotels?
Flights and hotel, anything that could be paid for by points. Of course, yeah. We spent so much more money than that, but right. Because our Norway trip, because people need to understand like true numbers, right? So our first class, mine and Rachel's first class flights to Norway were $29,900 some dollars. So $30,000. Spent $101 exactly. And like someone's like, oh, well, you had to use 800,000 points. Well, no, I used 174,000 points. So how do you get 174,000 points? Well, if you go out and get the Amex Platinum right now for a business and spend 15,000 in the first 3 months, you're going to have enough points to take a $30,000 flight. You just doubled your value. Right.
So there's, I got a question. Yeah. I don't travel like you. What the hell is a $30,000 flight?
You know, I thought it was
like massages and like some steak dinners and some shit, weren't you?
Boy, the food was good. It should have been private, but it's crazy. And that's what blew my mind, because I'm like, holy shit, this is a $30,000 flight. Why? Why is it $30,000? And I'm like, wow, there's people out there that pay this. And it's cool if you can afford to pay it, but it's cool if you can afford to pay it and you don't have to.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I mean, it's one thing, dude. I'm so frugal by nature.
Yeah.
That it's like at times, like my son, he plays travel hockey. So this is another reason why I'm like, oh, these travel hacks. I got to go places all the time. I mean, this summer, it's like we got Grand Rapids, Michigan. We got St. Louis. We got Tampa. We got South Carolina. I mean, that's just 4 in 1 month, right?
Wow.
So, I'm looking at this, I'm going, I don't really need to spend that much money on some of these flights, right? I mean, it's just like, dude, it's a 2-hour flight. I mean, just,
right.
Can I get an exit row? I mean, I'm good enough with that. It's 2 hours and I fall asleep, you know?
Right.
$30,000 for a flight. But I mean, I guess if you're building up, like you said, with one hack, $15,000, I mean, that's like a light week. On like one expense inside of our business, it makes sense to do that. So inside of your program, are you guys walking your people through how to use these points, or is it kind of like you're teaching them and then they have to go implement it themselves?
So we have several different ways that we can help people all at different levels. So, you know, I'm a very transparent person. The reason why I created this program is because the credit industry is susp anyways. So it's like, okay. And I've spent over 6 figures learning how to do all this in multiple different programs. And that's why I rebranded our program All In Credit, because it's the only credit program that has everything all in one that anybody needs, from personal credit, business credit, credit stacking, travel hacking. So the program teaches everything, how to do exactly what I've been doing for years for high level, you know, wholesalers and entrepreneurs. everything, no secrets held back, including our travel hacking stuff. Is every trip that I take, I record everything because people need to know what's going on up here. So yeah. Even me just brainstorming, okay, what am I going to do? All right, we're going to Norway, boom, 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 boom. And so all that is recorded so people can follow the exact process. And that's when I pulled up this past weekend with Sean and said, okay, here's our Norway trip. First, we're going to go here. We're going to look at here. We did it live. Solved the problem in less than 5 minutes. Saved him $100,000 in 5 minutes.
Love it. I got a question. There was news that came out, and I don't know if it got squashed or if it's still going to go through or not, but there was conversations about Capital One buying Discover for like $30 billion or something.
Yeah.
Is that good? Is that bad? I mean, personally, it kind of feels like it's not moving in a good direction for us as a society when all of a sudden it feels sort of like a monopoly. So what are your thoughts about that? And is that good for the credit industry?
Well, obviously, we don't ever want to see something too, you know, monopolized. But Discover isn't really one that I would suggest anyone to get unless they're 18, 19 years old trying to build credit. Even Capital One isn't one that I would suggest anyone to get unless their primary focus was later on down the road on focusing on just getting points. You know, so those two are really irrelevant to like the strategy that we help people with. So I ignore that. But of course, the bigger picture, I don't want to see three or four primary, you know, credit card issuers or lenders taking over the entire thing, because then the interest rates are going to kill us. Right. But there are some things the FCRA that are coming out with basically saying that they need to lower interest rates, that it's predatory and stuff like that.
That was going to be my next question. I mean, do you kind of feel like at times, specifically with the lower requirement of credit score, credit cards, are those interest rates somewhat predatory? I mean, dude, I remember being 20, 21 years old and having a credit, you know, with an interest rate in the mid 20s. Mm-hmm. And it's like, dude, I'm going to be 40 by the time I get this thing paid off. And I didn't know any better because there's no education on how to use credit, which I'll get into that next. But I mean, what are your thoughts about some of these interest rates? Are they predatory? And should there be regulations against it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I 100% predatory. I mean, any interest rate above 15 is just freaking insane, especially for like a long term. And especially without any education, right? This isn't taught in schools and it's frowned upon and the industry is really sus. It's hard to find a trustworthy person to have you, the client's best interest at heart. And on top of that is these insane 28% interest credit cards. Like, that's how they make their money. They are prying on us to not pay those credit cards off every month. So that way they're making their money off the interest rates. Simple. Yeah. Simple. So there are some whispers going around that it is predatory and they're working on something to move that.
And then on the education side, it's funny. You're basically in two industries where there's like zero education, real right. credit, right? And obviously, I'm big on educating in the real estate space. I feel like it's almost criminal in the fact that our education system never talks about this, where it's like, we're not going to talk about how you're going to get a home. We're not going to teach you anything about getting a mortgage. And, oh, we're also not going to talk to you about getting credit cards. First of all, why do you think that's the case? I mean, is it so they can capitalize on us on the backside where they're taking advantage of these 25% interest rates? I mean, it's kind of crazy that we don't even talk about it in schools.
Yeah, it kind of makes you wonder, are they trying to monopolize it in a way up top so far that we can't see? Because, I mean, it's just so much money and people obviously profit based off of other people not knowing what they know, right? And is that the credit industry? Is that the real estate industry? Obviously, like, you're looking at hedge funds and then the top lenders and banks. You know, so it could be that. but I don't know. I don't know.
All I'm saying is as if you watch the news and what comes out specifically over since the end of 2022.
Yeah.
Right. In the 2022, interest rates went through the roof, and then inflation has become this huge topic where, hey, it's popular to go on social media and say you can't afford eggs and milk anymore. But by God, you go to a Walmart or a Target in the month of December and the shelves are empty and every single person is swiping some Citi credit card, Discover, Capital One, some credit card so they can get their Christmas gifts. I mean, and it's like, dude, are they ever going to be able to pay that back? I mean, it's like you just watch people spend thousands of dollars and you're like, I know for a fact you were one of those people that was just complaining about the fact that you can't even put food on your table anymore. I think it's crazy how that's kind of become the norm in reality. It's just that's kind of the world that we live in. So as far as educating people, I mean, is that part of why you're passionate about like teaching this subject is because you see that there's such a need for it?
Yeah, I think the main reason why I'm so passionate about it is it's because it's the only reason why I am where I am today. You know, I've told this a few times, but I've been on my own with no influence since I was 15. You know, my parents are addicts. My dad went to prison when I was 15, off and on all my life. But at that time, sophomore in high school, and I was left alone. But I graduated high school and, you know, it was a roller coaster ride. So I had no financial literacy influence, nothing at all. And it was like 2015. I was a really bad motorcycle accident that, put me, I couldn't walk for a year, let alone work or anything. I lost everything. You know, blessed to be alive, that's for sure. But everything else came crashing down. Not that I was like well off or anything. I was very poor, actually. Just a traveling welder in Kansas. and someone approached me about getting invested into real estate and getting into development in South Texas. And I wanted to get in on it because I watched my stepdad develop custom homes all over the country. Del Webb, like he developed Summerlin, Las Vegas, Sun City, Phoenix, Hilton Head Island. So I loved real estate, but didn't know how to get in. And then a friend approached me and said, hey, we're going to do some developments down in South Texas. I'd love to have you involved. You need to repair your credit from your motorcycle accident. And then I got ripped off and scammed. I sold my very last gun. I had to sell everything because I couldn't work.
Right.
Sold my very last gun. And I lived out in the country. So guns, we all have guns, right? So I sold my very last gun to pay for this credit repair and I got ripped off. He didn't do anything. But I don't have that like victim, oh shit, I guess I'm not meant for this mentality. So I figured it out. Went to YouTube University, and this is around the same time I was studying wholesaling. Back when Max Maxwell and Cody Sperber was all over YouTube. So that's I was kind of mending both. I'm like, okay, well, I want to do this, but I need to do this first. Graduated from YouTube University, sent out my own disputes, and I deleted tens of thousands of dollars in medical collections in the first month. So I text the guy and I said, hey, I just did this and it resulted in this. You're the expert. What do I do next? He said, if you think what you did is the reason, then maybe you should go start your own company. Since then, I've helped over 1,000 people.
Dude, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. But hey, listen, bro, sometimes it takes that one sentence from some asshole out there. And my story was I was a general manager at Pizza Hut. I dedicated my first 8 years from 18 until I was 26 at Pizza Hut. And I didn't even know why I was working at Pizza Hut. I knew I could do a lot more with my life than just Pizza Hut. And when that guy from corporate came into my restaurant and he said, after walking my restaurant, we should have never promoted you. You're nothing but an over-glorified shift manager. I never went back, bro. I literally walked out the door. They never saw me again. And I'll never forget it. It's like, I look back at it. It's like, I thought I was nothing but an over-glorified shift manager.
Right.
And it's like, someone asked the other day, we were at a mastermind. They said, raise your hand if you've helped create a millionaire. Not yourself. has someone else become a millionaire because of something that you taught? And I proudly was able to raise my hand where I know several people that I know. I mean, there's people I'm sure that I don't know. Same thing with you and your content. You know, bro, who knows how many people's lives you've changed just was like a reel that you made or a video that you put out there. And they went and they did it. And then they don't even, might not even give you credit for it, but they use that to go get a lead. And then that lead turned into a $15,000 wholesale fee. And then that $15,000 turned into $100,000. You know, I mean, that's incredible, man. Kudos to you for actually just buckling down and not giving up. A lot of people would have just kind of packed it in and said that victim mentality, like you were talking about.
Right. Yeah. So, and that's why it's like, I'm so passionate about credit is because I was able to get access to it in the beginning because I did it myself and invest into my first mentorship program, which was Cody Sperber's, you know, paid 10 grand for that. And then $1,000 of direct mail, obviously 2016, 2017, direct mail in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And then my very first month, I closed $80,000. And it's been a roller coaster ride ever since then. So it's like and credit was not my focus. It was just something that if people came to me, I'd help them because I kind of knew it. I had to, because I had to use it in order to continue scaling. And then COVID hit. That month, holy shit, I lost $2.4 million that month. $2.4 million, a $2.2 million assignment fee I lost because of COVID that month. One more month later, I'd probably be in a different position right now, you know, but I'm blessed it didn't close. I wasn't ready for it mentally. So there's that. And then it's like, I went to the Cartel Boss Summit in Punta Cana a couple years ago. Why? I was able to leverage credit, linked up with Nick Perry, learned PPC, learned the Nationwide. That's right when InvestLift started happening. So I was one of the first InvestLift users. Boom, went Nationwide. I'm like, okay. Cartel Boss Summit. And that's when it really sparked. I'm like, wait a minute. There's people here. For example, Ryan Pineda. He's like, Scotty, I have this many points. Is this a lot? I'm like, yeah. What do you do with those? He said, oh, I just cash back. I was like, okay. So that's maybe about $6,500. That's a lot of money to a lot of people. But, or you could take you and your entire family to Bora Bora, first class for free, stay in an overwater bungalow for an entire month for free. What are they worth to you? And then like David Olds, hey, this is just Capital One credit card that I'm using. It's all I have. I spend a PPC, but it ruins my personal credit. And that's when I realized, okay, I went to the number one wholesaling mastermind in the freaking world. And my biggest takeaway is there's people at this level that are not using credit. And if they are, they're doing it wrong. And that's when I decided, oh shit, you guys at this level need what I've been using.
Yeah.
And that's when I kind of came up with our All in Credit VIP program.
I love it, bro. And what's hilarious about that is a lot of those people that you just talked about, are friends of ours and people that we do business with, and same almost identical situations where you get in a room with someone and you have put them up on a pedestal because of social media, their success that you know that they have. And then all of a sudden you start having a conversation and then they open up to you about, hey, I have a need. And it's the same thing. Like Ryan came to us and said, we've always been Vegas. Now all of a sudden we're doing this PPC. We're doing it all across the country. Well, in Vegas, we would just drive to the house and close them right there in the living room. He's like, we can't do that in Detroit. Right. He's like, we don't know how to close over the phone. Can you come hang out with us for a couple of days and teach our guys how to close over the phone? And literally in just a couple of hours of working with them, they were already closers. It was just a few little tweaks. Same thing with what you're talking about. It's like they were already spending the money.
Right.
They already had the free trip for a month to Bora Bora.
Yeah, exactly.
They didn't know it. You know, it's the same thing. They knew how to close. They just didn't know a few little tweaks. And with that, next thing I know, I'm getting texts from Ryan. He's like, dude, we locked up 23 contracts last week.
Boom.
It's like, boom. It's unbelievable. You know, so that's one thing I love about being an entrepreneur, man, is just the opportunities that come about working with other people, changing their lives on a skill set that you've developed yourself. And a lot of times that skill set, in your case and in my case, we just developed ourselves because we had to. Our lives depended upon it.
Right, exactly.
And then next thing you know, everyone starts going, like, hey, dude, you're pretty damn good at this.
Yeah.
Like, can you teach me? And it's like, yes, I can. I want to, actually. Mm-hmm. I'm passionate about this. So it's awesome, man. We're definitely going to have a conversation about how you can come in and help out some of the people in Titanium University with what you got going on. Tell the people how they can find out more about your program and where to follow you.
Man, Scotty T, you can probably search Scotty T on any social media, YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, everything. Scotty T, usually the first one that pulls up. If there's not a check mark on it, it's not me. Don't message them. Don't trust them. Scotty Tregallis, spelled weird, hard to pronounce, but that's where I'm at everywhere. Follow me, DM me. I love to provide value. You know, advice is free. Let me know how I can help.
Appreciate you, man. Thank you so much for coming in, sharing about your story and also everything that you're doing inside of your business. Guys, make sure you like today's video. Give Scotty a shout out in the comments. Let him know what you like most about his story and the advice he gave today. And we'll see you guys next week on the Titanium Vault.